Goedemorgen en heel hartelijk welkom bij Hour of Power op deze vroege zondagmorgen in april. En als u of als jij zou kunnen ruiken wat ik ruik, dan zou je helemaal blij worden, want ik zit hier naast prachtige hyacinten. Ik moet er even wat bij vertellen. Dit is een nieuw ras. Ze hebben zelfs nog geen naam. En ja, ze zijn heel, heel erg mooi. En we hebben ze gekregen van een van onze trouwe kijkers om ze tentoon te stellen. Want hij is de kweker van deze schitterende hyacinten. Moet je eens kijken wat een kleuren. Veelkleurigheid, dat vind je ook terug in de programma's van Hour of Power. En we hebben aan het eind van de uitzending als predikant dominee Chun uit Hawaii. Die zegt, God kan wel eens nee zeggen. Maar daar heeft hij een bedoeling mee. En daar kun je ook een weg in vinden. Een beroemde voetbalcoach uit Amerika vertelt over zijn leven, hoe hij tegen de sport, maar vooral tegen mensen en zijn geloof aankijkt. En bij Out of Power Nederland, een echtpaar wat in een hele diepe crisis raakte, op het punt stond om te scheiden en elkaar weer hebben gevonden. En daar was Out of Power ook een belangrijk middel bij. Wat een geweldig verhaal. En zo ben ik heel blij dat we een mooi programma hebben op deze zondagmorgen. Wij gaan naar de Crystal Cathedral.
Join us today for the best hour on television, the Hour of Power from the Crystal Cathedral. Good morning.
Good morning.
Sheila, it's a great day.
It's a beautiful day.
And we owe it all to you, oh Lord, because you gave us the courage to make the right decision to become believers and to hang in there in the holy hour. Amen. Seated. Wow. It's a wonderful day to come to the Crystal Cathedral. Of course, every Sunday morning here is fantastic. But this morning you're hearing a great, one of the world's really great choirs from Decorah, Iowa. Good stuff comes from Iowa. Now, hear the word of the Lord. From Psalm 18, a man named David, a very devout Jew, wrote these words. He was a poet, wrote a lot of poetry, Much of it is in the Psalms. Here are the words: I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and my salvation, and my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in Him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of deer, and He sets me on high places. You, Lord, have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under me, so my feet did not slip. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. This is the word of the Lord.
Join me in glad adoration.
you so much. Luther College Nordic Choir, under the direction of Craig Arnold, who is a student of Donald Newman. Today, my interview guest is a man that many of you know. He is a legend. His name is Tom Osborne. He has had so many roles in life. He was the head coach of the Nebraska Cornhuskers for 25 years. And then he was a congressman for 6 years. And now he's back at Nebraska. And join with me, welcome, please, Tom Osborne. Tom has written this book, Beyond the Final Score, and it is an amazing book. It covers so many wonderful, important topics. And just the win-loss record under you as a head coach is something to be really, really proud of. But that's not all you did.
Well, winning is always more fun than losing. And believe me, I know that. But you also win a lot more if you have great players. Mm. And we had great players and great chemistry and a great place to coach. So I was very fortunate to be there for as long as I was. I coached there 36 years, 11 as an assistant, and 25 years as a head coach. So we have a lot of great memories.
Mm. Yes, when you're winning, there's pressure to winning as well, isn't there? Because then they expect you to keep winning. And then what happens when you lose one of those important games?
Well, when I took over, I was 35 years old as a head coach. And my predecessor, Bob Devaney, had won 2 national championships and had lost only 2 games in the previous 3 years. So the bar was pretty high. And unfortunately, the more you win or the more your program has won, the more people expect you to win. Yeah. And so certainly that's a burden. And you see a lot of people leaving coaching. Primarily because of self-imposed, and sometimes it's media, and sometimes it's fan pressure. But the thing that I finally came to realize, and I talked to John Wooden yesterday, who's a mentor of mine and a friend, and John was the basketball coach at UCLA, and we talked about what success is.
Yeah.
And essentially, we both agreed on the same thing, and I learned a lot of it from John, and that is success is really preparing the best you can, giving the best effort you can, doing the best you can with the resources you were given. Mm-hmm. You can't always control how the officials call the game. You can't afford control market forces. Sometimes you can't control things even within your own family. Mm-hmm. But you can control doing the best. And when you've done that, essentially, you've been successful.
And now you're back at Nebraska again at the university as athletic director. So you truly are coaching coaches. And as a mother of 4 sons, many of whom were very involved in sports and athletics, as I was reading your philosophy of coaching in your book, I thought, wow, there are so many coaches out there yet who still are kind of this Marine mentality, mm-hmm. as opposed to really trying to encourage and build up their players. So speak to that for a minute.
Well, I think sometimes people equate coaching with criticizing. And sometimes humiliating and somewhat of a boot camp mentality. And I think that's unfortunate because people that do that probably were coached that way. Mm-hmm. But the thing that I found was that if you really want to change behavior, if you want to elevate performance, probably the best way to do that is to catch somebody doing something right, mm-hmm. and to encourage it and reinforce the behavior that you want. Mm-hmm. It's not always harping on the things that they do wrong. And so we tried to be very positive, and I think that made a difference. I think it was important that the players felt that we really cared about them as people. Yeah. And so whether you were the fourth team player or the first team player, we cared about your education, we cared about your health, we cared about your family. We wanted the very best for you. And as a result, I think we were able to create an environment that created a desire to have great performance. Mm-hmm. And great chemistry on our teams, and that was important. And I also would like to mention that we encouraged the spiritual dimension. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't just play with your physical being or your mental powers. There's a spiritual endeavor. And so the more you're able to get past your own desires, the more you're able to sacrifice for the common good, the more you're able to love those who are around you, and to even love your opponents. Mm. And that's something that many people don't realize, but there's a fine line between hatred and fear. So we never taught our players to hate somebody that we're going to play. And as a result, we'd pat them on the back, we'd help them up, but we still played very hard. Wow. And so I thought that was important too.
Well, you are an inspiration, Tom, and I just want to encourage everybody, yes, all you ladies too who are not football fans or sports fans, because it's a wonderful book on character, on success, and leadership. And I was really, really inspired by it. And Tom, I just really hope and pray that God will continue to use you for many, many more years.
Well, thank you so
much. God bless you. Thank you.
En dat was het Luther College Nordic Choir. Het koor van de Christelijke Cathedral heeft vandaag een dagje vrij, ook verdiend. En ze zongen een prachtig lied. Als je in wonderen gelooft, dan gebeuren ze ook. En dat gebeurde ook in het leven van mijn gasten van vanmorgen, Henk en Birgit. Laat me even dit vertellen. Vorig jaar, in november, hadden we een reis met 120 Hour of Power vrienden door Israël en Jordanië. In de voetsporen van Jezus en de aartsvaders. Een prachtige reis. Robbie Schuller was erbij, de kleinzoon van dominee Schuller. Heeft fantastisch gesproken. En ja, het was een geweldige ervaring. Niet alleen om deze Bijbelse landen te verkennen, maar ook de ontmoeting tussen mensen was heel speciaal. Er zijn vriendschappen uitgegroeid. Zo zijn we ook een beetje vrienden geworden.
Zeker.
En dat ging vanzelf. Birgit, hoe kijk jij terug op die reis?
Ja, hoe kijk je terug op die reis? Het is voor mij een aanvulling geweest, of een invulling voor mijn leven, ook naar Henk toe. Ik had een jaar eerder nooit gedacht dat ik deze reis samen met hem zou doen. Omdat wij in het verleden toch een moeilijke tijd op geloofsgebied mee hebben gemaakt.
Henk, je bent katholiek opgevoed. 14 jaar geleden ben je ineens, als ik zo mag zeggen, heftig gaan geloven. Zodanig dat het jouw huwelijk uit elkaar dreef.
Ik ben rooms-katholiek opgevoed, wat je zei. En ik heb daarna mijn diensttijd beleefd en heb ik een hele poos niks meer aan het geloof gedaan. Toen waren we ondertussen al getrouwd, ben ik een vriend tegengekomen. Die vertelde mij wat Jezus hier op aarde kwam doen. En dat is in mijn hart genesteld. En toen is het gaan groeien. En ik vond dat het gevoel wat ik had, dat zij dat ook moest gaan beleven. Maar dan ook wel op dat moment meteen.
Ja.
En dat was niet goed. Dat heb ons uit elkaar gedreven.
Hoe zei hij dat? Jij moet ook gaan geloven.
Ja, nou, in zover niet, maar alles wat met het geloof te maken had. Dan zei hij bijvoorbeeld in een krant, als er een artikel stond, kom eens hier, kijk eens, dat was wat voor jou. En bid je ook wel eens? Ik zeg, ja, hoe doe je dat dan? Zo en zo. Nou, dat kan het maar beter laten. Dan doe je het niet goed. Dus op een gegeven moment ging toch bij ons de kloof steeds groter worden. Ik deed mijn ding, hij zijn ding. Ja, en het was bij mij gewoon, ik had totaal geen eigenwaarde meer. Ik denk, ik verlaat mijn eigen land om met hem in Nederland een nieuwe stad te maken met twee jonge kinderen. En dan maak ik na een aantal jaren zoiets mee.
Want waar kom je vandaan?
Uit Duitsland.
Ja.
En toen had ik zoiets, als dit nog een tijdje doorgaat. Het geloof zit in hem. Ik kan het hem niet afpakken. Maar ik weet wel hoe ver ik in het geloof sta en hoe ik daarmee verder wil.
Ja.
En ik mag haar daar nooit in beschadigen. Maar ik was op de een of andere manier zo vol van vreugde en blijdschap. Dat ik vond dat zij dat ook moest gaan beleven. Maar dat ik dat haar op een totaal verkeerde manier door de keel wilde proberen te duwen, zeg maar.
Ja.
En wij hebben op een gegeven moment, zat het eigenlijk tegen een scheiding aan. En ik ging naar mijn werk 's ochtends en ik voelde op de een of andere manier dat ik toch naar huis moest gaan. Want dat had woorden gehad. En toen stond zij op de trap en toen zei ze van, joh, als het zo doorgaat, dan kan je je koffers pakken en vertrekken.
Ja.
En dan is het klaar met ons huwelijk. En op een gegeven moment hebben we elkaar...
Leuk zo'n kordate vrouw.
Ja, zeker. Ze is al doorgrijpend, ja. Maar toen hebben we dus elkaar aangekeken. En zij stond op een tree hoger. Zij is kleiner dan mij. Maar we keken elkaar in de ogen. En toen hebben we toch gezegd van... We zijn toch volgens mij in de kerk getrouwd. We hebben elkaar een belofte gedaan.
Ja.
Dat we door goede en slechte tijden gaan. En dat was het punt dat wij zeiden van... We blijven er toch voor gaan.
Tijdens die reis gebeurde er van alles. En iets heel bijzonders waar jullie beiden op hoopten... werd waarheid voor jullie beiden in Jeruzalem, in het hart van het oude Jeruzalem, bij de toren van David. Vertel dat even, want dat was heel mooi wat jullie gedaan hebben.
Hoe het begon, zij had dus al het verlangen om de huwelijksbelofte te vernieuwen en ik dacht bij mezelf, vind ik niks, want we hebben het al een keer gedaan. Dus we hebben beloofd en ook dat de gebeurtenis op de trap, daar hebben we het ook nog eens een keer tegen elkaar gezegd. En op de een of andere manier zat het verlangen in haar en ik ben haar liefdestaal toch wel een beetje gaan horen, zeg maar. Wij zaten te ontbijten in een hotel aan het meer van Galilea. En links naast mij zat zij en in de verte zat dominee Schuller, Robbie Schuller. En zij zat tegen de mensen te vertellen over die huwelijksbelofte. En ik dacht bij mezelf, ik ga eens even bij Robbie Schuller buurten. En daar ben ik daarheen gegaan. Ik heb hem gevraagd of dat mogelijk is. En hij stelde mij wat vragen, of wij al een keer gescheiden waren, of dat ik vreemd was gegaan. Of, nou, dat is gelukkig allemaal niet gebeurd. Hij zei van, dat lijkt me dan hartstikke leuk om te doen, om jullie huwelijksbelofte te vernieuwen. Op een gegeven moment waren we dus in de kerk in Jeruzalem, in de kerk van Jezus Christus. En de dienst was afgelopen, want we hadden daar een zangdienst, omdat de akoestiek zo leuk is. En we liepen eigenlijk naar buiten, toen werden we weer naar binnen gehaald. En toen werd er toch gezegd, we gaan het nu doen.
Ja. En dan liepen jullie weer samen de kerk in. En hebben jullie de belofte aan elkaar weer hernieuwd. Het was een dramatisch of een aangrijpend moment voor jullie.
Emotioneel. Heel emotioneel.
Emotioneel. Ja, dat hadden we zelf niet gedacht.
Nee. Omdat je nu heel erg bewust in iets stapt wat je 25 jaar eerder Ja, dan ben je naïef, je bent nooit getrouwd geweest. En je gaat nu echt iets bewust nog een keer opnieuw doen. Ja.
Jullie zijn door een heftige periode gegaan als man en vrouw, als echtpaar. 1 op de 3 huwelijken strand in Nederland en 1 op de 2 huwelijken zijn moeizaam. Wat is jullie advies?
Wat mijn advies is, blijf in gesprek. Blijf praten over je gevoelens, wat ik zelf nooit gekund heb. Ik heb te veel in mijn leven meegemaakt.
Mag ik vragen wat je hebt meegemaakt, Birgit?
Vroeger in jonge jaren seksueel misbruik. Een dominante vader die op vrij jonge leeftijd ook overleden is. En mijn moeder kwam er alleen voor staan. En ook de seksuele ervaring op later leeftijd was tegen mijn zin in. En dat zijn gewoon minder ervaringen. Dat je op een gegeven moment hoort dat ik thuis een moeilijke situatie had. Eigenlijk een soort overlevingsmechanisme ingeschakeld heb. Ik heb gewoon altijd gezegd, nou ik red het wel en ik trek het wel. En daar heb ik eigenlijk geen tweede persoon voor nodig. Teleurstellingen met mannen gehad. En op een gegeven moment leerde ik hem kennen. En hij was zo anders qua karakter. Zo verzorgzaam en zoveel liever als wat ik aan mannen ooit gekend heb, verwacht had. En zodoende zijn we eigenlijk mede, doordat we zelf genoeg hebben meegemaakt. Ook het geloof dat ik er open ging staan voor. Dat toch ons ook. En veel boeken lezen. Ik hou van psychologische boeken. Hij meer met geloofsboeken. En die combinatie denk ik. En vind ik blijven praten met de partner. Niet weglopen. Je kan wel eens een keer schreeuwen. Maar blijf na de hand gewoon weer over nadenken. Je bent ook niet volmaakt.
Ja. Liefde is ook gewoon werken, hè?
Ja.
Ja?
Ja. Het is een werkwoord.
Ja.
Hey, leuk, jullie waren heel gezellige deelnemers. En ik vind het fijn dat Hour of Power zoveel van jullie mag betekenen. Jullie kijken daar trouw naar. En daarom wil ik jullie als herinnering dit boek geven. Het tablebook, zoals we het noemen. Het boek dat je op de tafel kunt leggen, wat je door kunt bladeren. Waar alles in staat over de Crystal Cathedral. En voor jou heb ik ook iets, Birgit. We hebben gehoord over harten aan elkaar geven en verbonden blijven. En Birgit, weet je, als je je hart aan een ander geeft en je hart aan God, dan komt het samen en dan komt het altijd goed.
Dank mooi, je wel. Hè? Zeker.
Ons moederdag cadeau.
Dat zou ik zeker dragen.
Alsjeblieft. Ja. Oké.
Okay. Dank je.
Maar we hebben ook nog wat voor jou, Jan.
Je meent het.
Ja.
Ik heb een heel onaanzienlijk dingetje. Het is een dood plantje. Het ziet er niet meer uit. Dit noemen ze de roos van Jericho. Oftewel een opstandingsplant. Je kan dit 50 jaar in de kast laten liggen. En het is zo dood als een pier, maar als je het water geeft, dan komt hij zoals die plant helemaal uit binnen 2 dagen.
Binnen 2 dagen.
En als je dan denkt dat je huwelijk dood is, hè, geef het water. En Jezus zegt dat hij levend water geeft. En er kan toch weer iets moois uitbloeien.
Mooi is dat, hè?
Ja.
Wat ogenschijnlijk dood is, komt tot leven.
Ja.
Als het de bron van leven ontmoet.
Precies.
Het levende water. Ja. Ik wens jullie ook een heel gelukkig leven samen toe. En wij gaan terug naar de Crystal Cathedral. Weet je, soms voelen mensen zich alleen. Dat kan ook zijn in een huwelijk. Maar laat dit een bemoediging zijn. You are not alone. En dat alone is met een hoofdletter. Dus God laat je nooit in de steek. En dat zingt Kevin DeVar.
When I heard the news, I thought of you. And all you had to be going through. With a heavy heart I begin to break. Father, give them strength today. Now I know it won't be an easy road. But you won't have to travel it alone. Without a stand beside you. Millions are praying for you. We're not gonna let you go. Till you tell us who we want you to know. Praying for you as if they were our very own. We can't say we know how you feel, but our love for you is real. Just know that you are not alone. You're not alone. Just know that you are not alone. No matter what you're going through, God sees. And he cares about you. You are not alone. Right now, this may seem hard to believe, but one day you're gonna see the sun shine again. You're gonna smile again. I know that it hurts
service right now, and your heart is growing so hearty. But we want you to feel the love flowing from all of us. We love you so much. We want you to know you are not alone. We're still praying for you as if they were our very own. Yeah, we can't say we know how you feel, but our love for you. Just know that you are not alone, you're not alone. Just know that you are not. In times like these, we've got to fall on our knees, praying, Father, I'm in need of healing and peace. Jesus can heal you, no matter, no matter, no matter how. He can heal your pain and don't take it away. You are not alone. When I heard the news, I thought of you.
Wow. Thank you. Your ministry is amazing. God bless you.
Bless you.
Well, many of you remember Dan Chun. Dan Chun is speaking to us today on a subject. My only problem with it is I'm jealous. I wish I had thought of it. Great title, Giving Thanks When God Says No. Give it to him.
Well, aloha. So great to be here, and Pam and I find it a great honor and joy to be with the Schulers and with all of you here. Greetings from your brothers and sisters at First Presbyterian Church of Honolulu. This morning, I have a special message for you all of how to really know and do the will of God. And this might be news to you, but in the entire Bible, there are only two verses that say, this is the will of God. And clearly the whole Bible is about the will of God. But only two verses say it with such precision and clarity and oomph that you would think that that maybe I should obey that, if it's that clear. Both are in the New Testament. And the first one is in a book called 1 Thessalonians. I know that's a long name. And it says this, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, your being made holy, that you abstain from fornication." Now, basically, this is saying that sex is always within the context of marriage. And no fornicating means no sex outside of marriage. It is the will of God. To the relief of many of you this morning, that is not what I'm going to be preaching about today. But if this verse is a problem for you, then feel free to make an appointment with any other pastor. Our verse this morning is this: "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." When the Bible says this is the will of God, it means, duh, this is the will of God. You know, if you go back to the original language in Greek, it means, duh, this is the will of God. So when the scriptures make it that clear, then maybe we should follow it on a daily basis. Give thanks in all circumstances. Most of us don't have a problem with the first part, give thanks. Sure, it's good to give thanks, but we might have a problem with being aware enough of our blessings. In Hawaii, we can take it for granted that we have a lot of great things, a lot of great food, a wonderful sunset, a sunrise, clean air, clean water. All of us can be thankful for something. Great friends, our health, our education, a great mentor, a great coach that we had. However, being thankful for things big and small can be a challenge. I do believe it is very hard to be depressed when thankful. Part of the nature of depression is that we lose the capacity to be grateful for many things. We forget, we develop amnesia or gratitude dementia. On any given day, a healthy person should be able to write pages and pages of things for which to be thankful. The nature of thanksgiving lifts us out of "it's only about me" to "wow, look at all the great things God and others have done to bless me." But that is not what I want to dwell on today. I want to go further into the scripture verse, beyond the give thanks part, to the fourth word, because I think that is where most of us struggle. The fourth word. And that is when where the spiritual battle should be. The fourth word, which is all. Our verse says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God." It's in the word "all" that we will find despair or forgetfulness or hope. Let's not water down the fact that it's hard to give thanks in all circumstances. When God says, yes, we often forget or we take the credit. When God says, no, we can get mad and uppity and feel entitled towards God. Let me put it in a vivid context. Remember the old TV show called Touched by an Angel? There was an episode called Jones versus God about a fictional town named Clarion County. And for the longest time, Clarion County had no rain. The farmers suffered from a long drought, unlike you all here in Southern California where you just had a flood of rain. But for Clarion County, no, a drought. And they kept praying to God to send them rain. When no rain happened, a farmer named Justinian Jones decided to sue God. So God hears of this suit up in heaven against him, and he sends down to earth two angels, one to represent him. One is Tess, who appears as an African-American lawyer who defends God. And the other is Monica, who takes the witness stand as an angel with an Irish accent. And the farmer Justinian Jones decides to be his own attorney to prosecute God. The question Justinian Jones peppers Monica with are questions we might ask God when we find it hard to give thanks in all circumstances. For some of you today, maybe it's not a drought that you're facing, but something else in which you are frustrated that God has not answered yes to your prayers. So hear this dialogue. Maybe there's a reason you're here this morning. Hear this dialogue between the prosecuting attorney, Justinian Jones, versus Monica in the witness box. Jones starts off and asks, "Tell us, why has God given us this drought? Can you explain what is happening here?" Monica, the angel, responds, "We live in a world where accidents happen. The floods and earthquakes, droughts, deaths, bad things occur every day, sir. But it doesn't mean God isn't good, because he is." "Good," asks Jones. "God has maliciously withheld rain from Clarion County. He has intentionally inflicted distress." Monica replies, "When will you stop condemning God and start commending him? When there was rain, did you give thanks for it? No, you said your crops were because of your hybrid seed, and that farm over there named Stretch said it was because of the fertilizer that he sells. Everyone takes credit when things go right, but when they go wrong, who gets the blame? God?" And Farmer Jones zips back and says, "Well, let me tell you something. This trial is not about the good times. It's about deprivation. You have appeared as a messenger from God. What's the message?" And Monica responds, "God loves you." Jones retorts, "Well, if he loves us, then why did he give us this drought? Would you care to hazard a guess? Maybe it's a lesson. Is it a lesson we need to learn? Is it a lesson that's worth the price? You don't know much about anything. Oh, ignorance is bliss. That's a tired old excuse, and it's not good enough. Or is it God works in mysterious ways? These people are hurting here. They want to hear something that makes sense. Why? Why is God giving us this drought?" And then the show goes into commercial break, so I'm not going to tell you what happens next. Just joking, just joking. So, when we return to court in the next scene, Monica, the angel, has since talked to God and says to Farmer Jones, "You have prayed for rain, and God has answered your prayer. And the answer is no." Jones is crestfallen. "No! God said no!" And Monica softly answers, "When Clarion County prayed, who asked God, 'What can I do about this?' Has anyone asked God for guidance or direction? Or was the only thing you asked him for was rain? God allowed the drought, yes, but you were all responsible for your faith. God answered your prayers for rain and said no. But there are so many gifts he wants to give you if you are just willing to ask." Maybe for some of us here this morning, those questions are our questions of Farmer Jones. Exchange the word drought to illness or pain that God doesn't seem to take away, and our hearts and our souls can have that same kind of anger and rage against God. We desperately want him to answer yes to all of our prayers. Yet how can we be thankful in all things when the answer is no? How do we take a no from God? I know what that's like. I have personally heard God say that to me. "No, Dan, your mom will die. No, Dan, you will lose your first marriage. No, Dan, I cannot promise you an easier life. So how can we be thankful in all things? How can we be thankful when God says no? For me, I can be thankful when I first realize that God does love us. He really wants the best for us. He has a plan for our lives. It says in the Old Testament, in a book called Jeremiah, God says, "For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare, not for your harm, to give you a future with a hope." He may not let us in on the plan, but he has a plan. His architectural designs of my life may be too complicated for me to understand, but he does have a plan for my life.
His ways may not be our ways, but my first step in climbing out of a deep, deep hole of questions or depression is to claim the promise that God says that He has a plan for me, and it will be not for harm, but for a future with a hope. It's the same God who allowed a young man named Joseph in the Old Testament to be kidnapped and sold into slavery for 13 years. But later, he rose to the number two position in Egypt, which allowed him to save his family from a drought. Yes, a drought. Even in the midst of a drought, God was forming his plan to save Joseph and his entire family and to bless them richly. We need to believe that God has no harm in mind for us. But the Bible does say we are children, heirs of God, provided that we suffer. Suffer. We live in a world where suffering is part of the deal, especially if we live in a world that doesn't follow Jesus. Without pain, though, our muscles do not grow. Without pain, there is no birth. Without pain, there is no thankfulness. If anyone says to you that to follow Jesus means you will not have any pain, then know that that person is selling you a false bill of goods. Part of understanding God is to acknowledge that it isn't all about us. God is in charge of human resources. God is in charge of management. We're just in sales. We need to start every day our devotional by getting up and looking at the mirror as we're brushing our teeth or washing our face and say, I am not the Messiah. I'm not in control. And when we wonder why God doesn't answer all of our prayers, we should direct instead all of our focus to the blessings and His hand in those blessings given to us. Blessings He planned for us since the beginning of time. And yes, God can utilize the bad to make good. When God says no, let's not dwell on the no or the why, but ask Him, what shall we do next now that the no is really a no? You see, God doesn't promise He will always take away the pain, but He does promise to give us hope and strength in the midst of our pain. Sometimes God says no because He has a better yes that comes later. That can only happen if a no happens now. People of business see that all the time. A door closes, and by waiting and searching for options, a better yes comes later. Sheila mentioned earlier Pete Carroll, the USC football coach, and he's a prime example of about a no turning into a great yes. You know, I'm a University of Southern California alumnus, and USC football coach Pete Carroll, hear his story. He was fired from the New York Jets. He was fired from the Boston Patriots. Talk about hearing a no from God and feeling like a loser. And then he was reportedly the fourth choice to become the new coach of the USC football team. But guess what happened? He flourished there. USC won two national championships. Pete Carroll was called college coach of the decade and had the second highest winning percentage in the history of Division I college football and received one of the highest salaries of college football coaches in the land. That's accepting a no to see a later great yes. And now he returns to professional football and is going to be the new coach of the Seattle Seahawks, and we'll see how he does in that new challenge. You know, when I was a singles pastor here in Northern California, in fact, I learned under Jim Smoke, one of the very first singles pastor in the country, so you were so innovative and entrepreneurial back then on that one also. And when I was a singles pastor, people would break up with their boyfriend or girlfriend, or worse yet, when I would tell them in the office that I think they're dating the wrong person and that one shouldn't be their future spouse, oh, they would cry, and understandably, and say then, I will never find the love of my life, and they would despair, and they didn't want to hear a no. But then later, they would find the right spouse, and they would thank me for giving them the hard no earlier so that they could be blessed by an unseen yes. If we get bitter about the no's in our life, then our life will never get better. Bitterness is a self-inflicted wound. Bitterness is when we choose our own poison and then we hope God or others die. Make a list this week of all of the things you can be thankful for. And it should be a long list. Don't be like the 9 lepers. You know, in the Bible, in the gospel stories, Jesus once healed 10 lepers, but only 1 out of the 10 came back to thank him. Isn't that hard to believe? A life of a leper meant being a major social outcast. I mean, people threw stones at you and your limbs and your fingers and toes would fall off and there'd be big sores on your face or all over your body. And you would think that all 10 lepers, after getting healed instantly by Jesus, would say, "Praise God, thank you, Jesus, for healing myself." But only 1 said thank you. 9 took off and went running and rejoicing in their healing, but only 1 turned back, fell at the feet of Jesus, said, "Thank you, thank you." He said thank you when God said yes. And we can be pretty hard on those 9 lepers. But maybe in an honest moment, maybe we too have not said thank you enough to God for the blessings he's had in our lives. Friends, may this be a joyful weekend that starts a new chapter. Yes, life is hard, but this may be the beginning of a life of gratitude. I close with a quote from a girl named Elma Kabigting, whom our church supports through Compassion International, who is being raised from poverty in the Philippines. In her last letter, she wrote this, and this is amazing because her house was destroyed by the floods over there. She wrote this, "There's a revelation in me that if we put our trust in the Lord, there will never, ever be bitter endings." Wow. Let me read that again. "There's a revelation in me that if we put our trust in the Lord, there will never, ever be bitter endings." May this be a time when we remember the yeses from God and say thank you. May this be a time when we acknowledge the noes in our life and still have faith in God. May this be a time when our cups overflow with appreciation, for we have indeed so much for which to be thankful. Amen? Amen? Amen. God bless you all.
You're going out and in your coming in your lying down and in your rising up, in your labor and in your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until you come to stand before Jesus in that day in which for you there will be no sunrise, no sunset, only eternal light and life and love with Christ forevermore. Amen.
Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. Yes, every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray.
Up upon the mountain our Lord spoke. Out of his mouth came fire and smoke. Looked all around me, it looked so fine, till I asked my Lord if all was mine.
Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I'm a Christian. Yes, every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I'm a Christian.
Jordan River is chilly and cold. It chills the body, but not the soul. There ain't but one train upon this track. It runs to heaven and right back.
Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart,
prachtige uitspraak van dominee Chung. God neemt niet altijd de pijn weg, maar geeft ons kracht om te leven te midden van die pijn. En het beste medicijn is toch een beetje loslaten. We zijn heel blij dat u en dat jij gekeken hebt naar deze uitzending van Hour of Power. Volgende week ook weer een aantal bijzondere gasten, waaronder professor Dr. Lans Bovenberg, een van de meest vooraanstaande economen van ons land. En hij vond onder andere de levensloopregeling uit. En gaat vertellen over waar hij voor staat, wat zijn geloof is. Want het leuke is, deze beroemde professor heeft nog een droom. En dat is om dominee te worden, voorganger. Nou, dat volgende week bij Hour of Power. Heel hartelijk bedankt voor het kijken. Kijk nog even op onze website, bijvoorbeeld voor dat hartje, voor Moederdag. www.hourofpower.nl of die reis naar The Glory of Christmas. Staat er allemaal op. Heel veel informatie en we zijn graag met u en met jou in contact. Een hele fijne zondag toegewenst. Geniet van het mooie van de schepping, wat we allemaal krijgen. De hemel geeft, wie vangt, die heeft.
Praises before.